chapter 4. And I know if you've looked at the bulletin, you see that there's a lot of scripture that we have set to cover today. But we're not going to cover all of it. We're going to look at sections, and it's divided into three sections, this particular part. And I've titled the subject, The Marks of a Maturing Christian. The Marks of a Maturing Christian. In verses 11 through 13, I want you to notice what Paul says. He says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." The scripture here tells us that God gave the church her spiritual leaders. And he mentions those spiritual leaders. They are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Pastors and teachers are the same person. It is not some pastors and some teachers. He's not identifying some as teachers, but the pastor is the shepherd and the teacher of the flock. And that's Paul's point there. Now, he has given these men for what purpose? For the sole purpose of promoting spiritual growth within the body of Christ. And he says that in the next phrase, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Now, in most of our Bibles, or a lot of Bibles, and in the King James, it says, for the equipping of the saints, comma, for the work of the ministry, comma, for the edifying of the body of Christ. As if it is three things that Paul is speaking of here. But in the original Greek, there is no comma between the equipping of the saints and for the work of the ministry. It's one phrase. So the idea and the principle that Paul is presenting here is that he has given these spiritual leaders to the church for the purpose of equipping the saints for the work of ministry. That's it. That is the job or the responsibility of a spiritual leader in the church, to equip the members, to equip the saints for their work of ministry. And the result of that is the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. So Paul lays that out for us in the very beginning. Now the reason why growth is needed is obvious, or ought to be obvious to us, because the Bible is very clear when it tells us that every Christian is a baby when they believe or they become a Christian. When they have been saved, when they have acknowledged their salvation, they have acknowledged Christ as their Savior, in the very beginning they are a baby. And that's why that process that follows and begins and follows is called the new birth. And if you're a newborn person, you're what? A baby. You're not mature. And so Paul is saying you are babies, and there is a need for the instruction. There is a need for this training from those who are the spiritual leaders in the church. Now, I think this is evident from several verses. John chapter 3, verse 3, for instance, if you read that, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And verse 7, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." And therefore, when you're born again, there's the process then, you're a baby. Now in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, Peter says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." Now, just as every parent in the world is delighted when they see their children growing, and they see their children maturing, God is delighted. And God is blessed when he sees his children making the transition from babyhood to adulthood in a spiritual sense. Don't you know that pleases God? He doesn't want us to remain babies, spiritual babies, all of our lives. The new birth is the new process and the beginning of it. God wants us to move from the spiritual nursery to the spiritual battlefield. That's maturity. He wants us to leave the realm of the milk and the bibs and the diapers. He wants us to move into the realm of the meat and the battle and the devotion. That's what God desires from us. Look at verse 13. Till we all come, now he's done all of this, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. And that word perfect means complete in the Greek also. He wants us to come to the perfect man, to the complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 with me. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. And then look what he says, as to babes in Christ. You see, Paul is writing, and Paul has been speaking to the church at Corinth. And he's saying to them, now I couldn't write unto you as spiritual, mature people, but I had to write unto you as carnal, as babes in Christ. He said, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? So you see, Paul is saying here now, folks, he's writing to a church now. And he says to them, now listen, he said, I have fed you with the milk. I couldn't give you the meat of the word because you couldn't take it. And he said, you still can't. In other words, what he's saying to them is, you're not maturing, folks. You're not growing up. That's what Paul is saying to that Corinthian church. And apparently, if you'll read through that church, and if you'll look at church history, you'll find that that was a very carnal church. And Paul was trying to deal with things there. Now look at what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter 3, 18. He says, but grow, how? Physically? Grow in our stature? Grow in our size? No. He says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And so when we talk about growth, spiritual growth, we're talking about the ability to know and understand more. We're to grow in the grace of God. We're to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so you see, that is what causes us to grow and mature spiritually, is our growth in the knowledge and understanding of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that brings us closer to Him, doesn't it? So when we're growing inwardly. We're growing in our minds. We're growing in our hearts and in our relationship with Him. Now, one other scripture I want us to note on this idea is 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. Now, John lays it out for us, and he says, and he really shows us here, the idea and this principle of the fact that we're babes, but we're to mature and we're to grow throughout our life. He says to them, he says, now I write unto you little children. This is one group he's writing to now. Underline that. I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write unto you, what? Fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Now there's three different areas of growth or development that Paul mentions there. He speaks of some as little children. He speaks of others as young men who have matured. They're not little children any longer. They're young men. And then he speaks to a third group, and that is you who are fathers. That is, you're mature. You're leading others now. You're in that role, you see. So Paul is saying that as he writes this letter, there are three different stages of development among the people that he's writing to. The babies, the little ones, the little children, the young men, and the fathers. I read that just for us to realize that there is that principle in our spiritual life. We are not fully grown and mature when we become Christians, when we profess our faith. It is a growing process in the same way that our children, our babies, they grow into little children, they grow into young adults, they grow into hopefully mature adults. That same process is true with us, isn't it? In the same way that it's true physically, it is also true spiritually. So you see, God's plan for every one of his children is to see them all reach spiritual maturity. That's God's desire for you, and that's God's desire for me. Now, there's a few that do that. A few that reach spiritual maturity. There are some that never will. And there are others who reach for it and reach for that goal daily. So there's those categories. Now, who am I going to be preaching to? I haven't gotten to the sermon yet. Who am I going to be preaching to today? Now, I don't know what category you're in, but I'm going to mention some. And then we'll go from there, okay? I will not be preaching to those who believe that they have already arrived. And there are some people that believe that. They believe that they have already arrived. They are fully mature Christians, and there's nothing else for them to do, nothing else for them to learn or to understand. It wouldn't be of any use because you're already confident in your achievements. You're proud of your humility, and you're sure that you have advanced as far as you can go in your spiritual development. And if that's the case, then there's nothing that I can say to you. So I won't be preaching to you. Now, I will not be speaking up either to those who are satisfied just to be saved. Just to know that they're saved from hell and they're going to heaven. And that's all they care about. They're just like the disciples of the Lord early on. That is, they had merely entered into the garden with the Lord. And that's as far as they went. From there, from where you sit, the world and the things of God are both within easy reach. And you're reaching for both at the same time. And that doesn't work. You're content to be saved. You do not wish to be bothered. And you do not wish to grow. And so I won't be speaking to you today either. Now, the people I am going to be preaching to today are those who are genuinely saved by the grace of God. You know Jesus is your Savior. You know that you are headed to heaven, but you also know that you are not what you should be. And you have a genuine desire in your heart to be all that the Lord has saved you to be. Well, that's what I'm preaching to today. Your life is filled with ups and downs. With all of the struggles of the flesh and of the spirit, you're not self-righteous. You are not self-confident. You are not self-reliant. You merely want to grow. And that's what the Lord wants for you. So it's with you. It's with those who fight the same battles that I fight and others fight that I share this message today. Now, the verses that we have read and the ones that we're going to be reading as we continue on this morning show us the need and give us information that will help us in our desire to grow spiritually, to grow to maturity. These verses point out very clearly the marks of a maturing Christian. And that's my thought for every one of us, and my question for every one of us. Am I a mature Christian? Is my desire to grow and to become a mature Christian? All I ask you to do today is to lay your life alongside the Scripture. That's it. Lay your life alongside the Scripture. This passage is going to tell you whether you're growing or not. And so it's for you to look at and for you to decide. If you are interested in growing, then I want you to look with me at the marks of a mature Christian. Now, we're only going to look at the first one today. Number one is this, verses 14 through 16. The mature Christian is marked by calm steadfastness. Calm steadfastness. Look at what the verses say, 14 through 16. That we should no longer be children. You see, here he starts out right there. Here we are, we're children, but he said we should no longer be children. So that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined and knitted together, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by every part, does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, these verses point to three areas where the growing believer is found to be steadfast and to be stable. So let's look at them, divide it down to these three. The first one is, verse 14, the mature Christian or the maturing Christian, the mark is that he is steadfast in his doctrine. Steadfast means what? Firm, solid, won't be moved. And the idea that is there is this, that he would no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now, you and I have known people, and I've known people, and maybe you haven't, but I have, and I'm sure you have, that go from one place to another. You know, one minute you hear that they belong to this denomination, the next minute they're over here in this one, and another one over here, and they're all over the place, and no matter what is taught, that's what they believe. That's being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. What we have to understand is that these folks who are maturing are not constantly being taken in by the false teachings of the world around them. They're solid in their understanding of Scripture. They're solid in the Word of God. The maturing believer is one who knows what they believe and they know why they believe it. They know about salvation. They know about Christ Jesus. And they know why. And it's not because that's what Mom and Daddy told me. Search the Scriptures, Jesus said. And the maturing Christian does that. And therefore, the maturing believer is one who knows what they believe and why they believe it. The maturing Christian is spending time in the Word of God. That's why they know what is correct. That's why they know their doctrine and they're steadfast in it. They're spending time in the Word of God. They are not deceived by the lies and the tricks and the traps of the enemy. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2:15. He says to Timothy, now, Timothy, you be diligent. In other words, put every effort into it. You be diligent to present yourself approved to whom? To your pastor, approved to your spouse, approved to your parents, approved to your co-workers? No. But approved to God, you be a worker who does not need to be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing the word truth. And so he's saying here, now here's one of the most important things for you, Timothy. And I realize Timothy was a pastor. But I think this principle applies to all of us in our spiritual maturity. Because we ought to all be diligent to present ourselves approved of God, a workman in the kingdom, a workman in the church, but a workman that does not need to be ashamed because we are rightly dividing the word of truth. We know what the truth is. We know how to apply that truth in our life. We know how to speak that truth and declare that truth, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then along with that, look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Paul says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is what? Profitable. What does that mean? It's worth something. It's going to have an effect in your life. It's going to be something for you to help you and to guide you and to lead you in the right direction. It is profitable. Well, what is it profitable for? Well, number one is doctrine. That's where you learn the truth of Scripture that you're to rightly divide, as Paul had said earlier to Timothy. And so it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And what's the purpose of it? That the man of God may be complete. That means, again, perfect, complete. They go together. Might be complete, thoroughly furnished for every good work. In other words, it's in the Scripture and in the study of the Scripture that you learn what God's will is for you. You learn everything you need to know in your growth and your understanding of Jesus Christ and of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Their whole plan for the church, their whole plan for your life and my life is laid out there in the Scripture. And so the maturing Christian is going to be in the Scripture. He's going to be steadfast in the doctrine. The second thing that I want to know comes from verse 15. And that is that the maturing Christian is going to be steadfast in his development. Steadfast in his development. Look at what it says. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, and that's Christ. You see, our maturity and our growth is in him. We're growing. That's why Paul and Peter and the others said, grow in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because our maturity is, we're growing up in him. We're growing up in our knowledge of him. We're growing up in our relationship with him. And don't you know that the more you're in the Word, the more you're studying, the more you're learning, the more you're hearing about the Lord, and your knowledge is increasing about him, don't you know that your personal relationship with him changes? Because that grows too, doesn't it? It grows stronger and stronger every day. And as that grows stronger and stronger every day, your knowledge of him, your relationship with him, then that's going to have a positive effect in your life with everything that you do and everything you face, isn't it? It's going to. So we're to grow in him in all things. The growing believer has a deep attraction for the truth of God. The believer, maturing believer, is constantly adopting their life to the teaching or adapting their life to the teachings of the Bible. And that's what we have to do. We have too many Christians in the world today who look more like the world than they do a Christian, or one that we would think of as being a follower of Christ. They act more like it, and that's coming up next week. But it's the truth, isn't it? And the whole point is that as we're constantly growing, and a part of our maturity is the fact that we're adapting the principles of God's Word into our lives and based upon the teachings of Scripture. The maturing Christian is going to take the time to find out what God wants from their life. Are you doing that? Do we do that? And when I say, are you doing that, just remember, I'm looking back here too, okay? I'm not trying to say, well, you're not doing anything, I'm doing everything. That's not it. Being gone and down these last 2 weeks has caused me to meditate a lot more than I have in a while. And to think about myself, and to think about, and especially when I mentioned here at the very beginning, that God gave the spiritual leaders of the church to promote their growth. You know what I have to say? Have I done that? You know, that's what falls back on me. So now, the mature believer takes the time to find out what God's will is for their life. But then they go further than that, and that is they change whatever it is that needs to be changed in order to line up with the will of God. Now, that's not always an easy thing to do, is it? It's a lot easier to just kind of move a little bit than we hear and we know what God's will is for us. But we just hesitate to make the changes in our life that need to be made. But their change has to take place. It's just like the newborn babies and our children. And I was thinking of it with children. And sometimes most of us here, our children are out and gone. There's only a couple of you that still have children at home. But when our children are out and gone, we're not in the habit of seeing things that need to be changed. Well, we might see things that need to be changed in their life, but we keep our mouth shut when they're on their own, don't we? But with our grandchildren, it gives us a fresh opportunity to see, as I love to be with the grandchildren for a lot of reasons, but to see them growing. And if you don't see them every day, you know, you see them growing physically, but they're maturing in different ways. I have to share this with you with Madeline, Daniel's oldest daughter. And when she's been hearing, they have their prayers every night before going to bed. And she hears things through the day. And the other day, after Parker had his stroke, and we let all the boys know to be in prayer, he hadn't said anything to Madeline, but he was telling Allison about it during the day. Well, that night when they had their prayers, Adeline prayed that the Lord would heal Parker. Now, that's coming from a child. That's maturity. That is that child growing in her spiritual life, her little life. But that's the way we all ought to be. And that's one of the signs. And as we see change. And we ought to see in our life where change needs to take place. Now, we've said it 1,000 times. We hate change, don't we? We don't like to change things. We like to leave things the way they are. But you know, if we're going to grow spiritually, if we're going to mature, if we're going to not only just know what the will of God is for our life, but we're going to make the changes and do whatever it takes to be what God wants us to be, then that is spiritual maturity. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. 1 John 2, verse 3 and 4. He says, "Now, by this we know that we know Him." Who? God. Well, by what? How do we know God? What is it that's an evidence that we know God? Very simple. If we keep His commandments. That's the evidence right there. This is how we know that we know God, if we keep His commandments. Now, listen to His next statement. He says, "He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep his commandments is what? He's a liar. He is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So now, do you know him? Do you? When I look out in this congregation, nearly every one of you I know has said at one time or another, you know him. I know him. I know God. I know Christ. I know the Holy Spirit. Well, now, the second part is, do you really know him? Do you keep his commandments? Right? Very simple. Do you keep his commandments? If not, you're a liar. I'm a liar. And then verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. You know, when you think about the commandments that we're to obey, the things that God has told us to do in order to make a full profession of our faith and our belief, our adherence unto God and his word, they're not burdensome. They're not burdensome at all. The problem is, with so many of us, is that we don't want to change our schedule or change our habits to do the things that God wants us to do. We don't want to get rid of something in our life that we really like, but it's really things that are carnal or things that are of the natural realm. We don't want to get rid of them and replace it with things that need to be replaced that are in the spiritual realm. That's where the real problem is. Those who are steadfast in their development do it because obedience to the Word of God produces genuine Christ-likeness in their lives. How does it produce Christ-likeness? Because Christ was obedient to the law in every way. And in Philippians 2:8 it says, Jesus was obedient, how? Even unto death, the death of the cross. Now that's really being obedient, you know. But Jesus obeyed in every way. So now, if Jesus was obedient, he's our master, he's our Lord, he's our Savior. If he was obedient unto God and the commandments of God, that if our desire is to grow in our likeness of Christ, then part of that means we need to be obedient to the commands that God has given to us. That should be our desire. You know, children, a lot of children, we'll say all, but you know, it's interesting to me to see children that want to grow up and be like their parents. Garrett wants to be like his dad so bad. I got a look on that one. But think about it. Children, a lot of children, want to grow up and be like their parents. Isn't that great? That children want to grow up and be like us. They see something in us, and they want to be like us. Well, you know, just in the same way that children have that desire to grow up and be like their parents, the growing believer wants to grow to be like Jesus Christ. To be like him. The growing believer is steadily progressing in his growth relationship with the Lord. And then the third point under this is this. The mature believer is steadfast in their devotion. In their devotion. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, he's using an illustration here of our human body, or our physical body. And just as our human bodies are knitted together in a wonderful way, and they are, aren't they? David, the psalmist, said, what, Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It's Just think about our body and how it functions. It's like when I was at the doctor the other day and I was for my back and I was telling him about this thumb and I thought it might be carpal tunnel. He said, no, that's arthritis because we're grippers. And there's our grip. You know, other animals don't have that ability. But there's our grippers and we use those a lot. So the thumbs usually go first, he said. Isn't that true? But we're fearfully and wonderfully made. You think about our physical being. And then as the human body is knitted together in that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way. So the body of Christ, the body of Christ has been fully compacted or knit together. That's fabulous, isn't it? We're a body. We're part of the body. We're not the whole body. So don't ever, I think sometimes we narrow that down too much. We're only part of the body. But we are part of the body of Christ. And the body is fitly formed together. It's compacted together. Each member in the place that pleased the Lord. Now I'm not going to take time to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But I want you to do that, if you would. This is part of your homework for your growth. Read chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. Because as Paul's writing there to that carnal church, remember that he called them babies, and he said, I can't give you the meat yet because you're still on the milk. But here's what he says in verse 12, and then he goes on, and you're familiar with these verses. He says, as the body is one and has many members, so also is Christ. In other words, you look at your body, and then he goes on and says, the eye can't say that he's not part of the body, or he wants to be the foot. The mouth can't say, well, I want to be the toes, or, you know, things like that. There's a place for every one of us as believers in the body of Christ. He has put us where we are for a purpose, to fill a purpose in the body of Christ and in the functioning of that body. And the growing believer wants to find out his place in the body and fulfill that place to the best of his ability. That's what the mature believer wants to do. What is my place in the body of Christ Jesus? And whatever my place is in the body of Christ, I want to fulfill it to the best of my ability. It is a sign of spiritual maturity when a believer does his or her best to carry out the assignments that they have been given by the Father above. And you find out your assignment, and I find out mine right here. He will speak to us. He will speak to us when our desire is to grow and to mature and to serve Him to the very best of our ability. He's going to show you. He's going to lay it out for you, just like he did Paul. You remember he told Paul, you're going to be an ambassador for me to the Gentiles. You're going to go to them. And he lists all the things that he's going to do. Now, God will speak to us and he'll show us. He'll speak to us through the Spirit. A lot of times in my life, and I know in some of your lives, you're praying and you're praying to know God's will in a certain area, and all of a sudden a scripture comes to mind. And there it is. There it is. And the reason that scripture comes to mind is because it's the Holy Spirit residing within you that brings that to your mind and to your attention, to your focus. And so the spiritual maturity, the sign of spiritual maturity is that desire to know God's assignment and then to do it to the best of our ability. Now I want to make this note in closing. When a part of our physical body doesn't live up to its assignment, then it causes problem for the whole body, doesn't it? Now I can relate to that in these last 2 weeks and standing here right now. I'm shifting a lot because I have to. But you know, when you've got something in the back and then it affects the legs and it affects the feet, And just no matter, like I've said a lot of times, someone say, how do you feel? I said, I hurt all over more than anywhere else. Because one place can affect our whole body. And some of you have been through that. You know exactly what I'm saying, physically. Well, in the same way, that same principle applies to the spiritual body. And when there's an ailment with a part of the spiritual body, then it's going to have an effect upon the whole body. When every person participates, when every person does what they've been assigned by the Lord to do, things are going to function smoothly, aren't they? Things are going to go well. But when they do not do what they're supposed to do, then the whole church suffers as a result. So in short, the thing is, you can count on a maturing believer. They're steadfast in their devotion to the Lord and His principles and His cause for them. Now, let's just summarize it as we close. The maturing Christian has a calm steadfastness. They're steadfast in what they're doing, steadfast in their doctrine, steadfast in their development, steadfast in their devotion. Now, when we began this morning, I asked you to do one thing, and that is to lay your life down beside the Scripture. And so we've read several verses. We've lined out several things today. Lay your life down beside those Scriptures. Remember that the maturing Christian desires to grow and to develop, and will make any changes that are needed in order to know and to do the will of God. Now next week we're going to look at the rest of this chapter. Two more marks of a maturing Christian. One is that they are marked by a clear separation. The outline's in your bulletin, so keep that and study it this week. Clear separation, verse 17 through 24. And then thirdly and last, they are marked by Christ-likeness and Christ-like standards, verse 25 through 32. Let's pray together. Almighty God and our Father, as we come before you today, it is with rejoicing and thanksgiving. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have created the body of Christ Jesus, and it's made up of many individuals, many personalities, and each of us, dear Heavenly Father, are at different stages of growth in our life. And Lord, today I pray for this congregation, and I pray, Father, that each one here would have a desire to grow, to mature, to not remain as little babies all their life, but to grow into little children and young men, and then into fathers and mothers. Lord, I pray for that for everyone. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that each of us will lay our life down beside your word and to see if we're growing and maturing, to see if we're developing as you would have us develop. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we would all have a desire in that maturity to know what your will is for us. Lord, what do you want me to do? We read the Scriptures and we see that that's what Paul asked. That's what the people asked on the day of Pentecost. What would you have us to do? What must I do? Oh Lord, may that be a burning desire in our hearts to know your will and then do it. And we can only do it with your help, with your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, through Jesus Christ our Lord.